It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's time for episode 240 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I talk with Michael J. Ruiz Unger and Tucker Toda, creators of a wonderful indie comic by the name of Dark Beach. And the first issue has come out. I saw it first at Florida Supercon a few weeks ago. We set up an interview and I had a great time talking with these guys about what it's like to make an indie comic, about this really interesting sci-fi concept that they have, how they made characters, and what we have in store from them as far as this wonderful series goes. Their website is darkbeachcomic.com, which I'll mention a couple of times during the interview, but that's the place to get this book, and I highly recommend it. So I'm sure you're going to want to hear what they have to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
I don't know how this whole business started.
Welcome to the podcast, Michael Ruiz Unger and Tucker Toda. Michael, how are you doing?
Good, man. How's everything going over there?
Going pretty well. Everything's doing real well. And you, Tucker?
I'm doing good. I actually got back from Comic-Con in San Diego.
Really?
Over the past weekend, which was my first San Diego Comic-Con. Mike's been there.
Oh, man.
But that was quite a trip.
I've been there, too. It took me about 3 weeks to recover from the time I went. All that walking from place to place. You know, if it was in the convention center, that would be bad enough. But then you've got stuff all over downtown San Diego.
Yeah, the time that I went, this was like years ago. This is like when they were announcing the Avengers movie.
Wow.
So it was just extra crazy. And I think there was like a stabbing that year as well. I don't know if you remember that story. Like someone got stabbed over a seat. Like someone took someone's seat and they stabbed someone's eyeball with a pen.
Oh, how nice!
Oh. Yeah, so that was like a big story that thing I went to. But.
Wow. Well, anyway. The book we want to talk about is called Dark Beach, which I got to meet at Florida Supercon recently, which was a really good book. Fortunately, the booth we were at was right across the way from you, so we couldn't miss you guys, thankfully. So that worked out real well. Dark Beach, why don't you talk a little bit, I guess, Michael, but the two of you, basically, according to the way that it's outlined on the credits page, you guys came up with the story, but you're the creator, Michael. Why don't you talk about where the story came from?
I guess the story really originated about, I would say, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I was living in New York, and I was just really into comic books at the time. I would go to Forbidden Planet and St. Mark's. Have you been to those in New York?
Yes.
So those were great starting points. I mean, I've always been into comic books, but for some reason, those two stores really opened my eyes to other worlds other than Marvel and DC. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of had the itching of, well, you know what? I kind of want to give this a try. You know, I'm not sure what I could do with it, or like, you know, I can't draw, but you know, at least I can make a story and see where that goes from there. And a few years later, I got pretty serious about it with Javier, and I've known him since the third grade, and he's a good writer partner of mine. And he came up to me, he's like, yeah, I really want to help you do this. And so we locked in a couple months of just going back and forth to write the whole story arc, the characters and what was going to happen to them. And We were back and forth. I remember like tons of phone calls, like hours each. And then we started to search for an artist. And I mean, just even searching for an artist, that took another extra couple months. But yeah, that's how it got started.
Well, at this point, I should probably jump in and say that Javier is another name that Tucker Tota goes by. So just in case, because you mentioned it, so we'll resolve that right now. Okay, so that's where the whole business of the comic came up. Where did the concept, because it's a really interesting science fiction concept, and all my years of reading science fiction, I've never heard of this. First of all, why don't you go ahead and say what the basic premise of the book is?
So I kind of got better at the pitch, especially at SuperCon, that being my first comic book convention where I had to sell the book immediately. The tagline was, so the story is about a crime scene photographer who lives in a future world where Earth has drifted away from the sun. Mm-hmm. That was my little 10-second pitch that I did like 100 times a day.
Okay, so that's good. Now, Javier, what was your role in all this? Did Michael have the concept? Did you guys flesh it out together? How did you guys work on this?
I guess developing the concept with our friend Matt, who's in the credits as well. And then he had to drop out for various reasons. And then I had told them that I thought it was a cool idea that they were working on. So then Mike reached out to me. He's like, hey, do you want to jump in and fill in the gap that Matt left behind? So then we really got into it. And at first it was totally Mike's idea that I was just giving him notes and whatever. And then we slowly started to share the duties of writing the story, plotting it out, characters, even finding the artists, funding it, paying for all kinds of things. So I slowly stole my piece of it from Mike, and it kind of became a little bit of both of ours. I mean, for sure, this is Mike's baby. He's been working on it for a long time. But yeah, the credits actually, I think, are a little confusing in the comic. I think from now on, we're just going to put written by me and Mike. And then just to keep it, simple.
I think at this point, we're both the creators, and we both write. And it's just like a back and forth. And a lot of people can do it by themselves. And I just like the back and forth, having that check with somebody else close by.
That's been great. We have 2-hour-long conversations about each page of the comic. So it's really productive to go back and forth where you think you have something and then you talk for 2 hours and then realize it's totally different from what it should be. If I was alone or if Mike was alone, I'm sure the comic would be much less less interesting or really just worse than it turns out being from keeping each other in check.
Now, you guys both have, like Jeff Johns, interestingly enough, a background in filmmaking. And I've always thought that that helped him as far as writing comics goes. And I've read some other interviews you guys have done, and you found that pretty helpful as far as putting this book together.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we both have done short films and music videos, and not to mention that, you know, Javier's in a band and I'm in a band too. And I mean, we just love creating things. So it just seemed like a natural thing for us to sit down and do this together and share the experience of it.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the film background, writing a story is something, I guess, that you benefit from having written scripts and shot things and edited and understanding pacing and things like that. But at the same time, there's so much about making a comic that's different. And like Mike mentioned, finding an artist and working with an artist and communicating your ideas with an artist and then figuring out what's going to go on what page and what part of the story should be displayed in larger panels, smaller panels. There is a lot of learning to it as well. And it's been really interesting. And now we're working on issue 2 and it's going way smoother and way faster just because we thought it was going to be like, oh, it's just you write a script and then you draw it instead of shooting it. But it's way more than.
Very cool. Now, my understanding is that, too, you were inspired by other things, including Touch of Evil, Naked City, Scarlet Street, and other things in creating the book.
Yeah.
The dark, because I love dark stories anyway. And so for me, the darkness of the story was real appealing. And the fact that this is one of the things that's fascinating about the book is that the sun is not there. They've actually left the sun, which is the science fiction thing that really just grabbed me the moment I saw it. I said, wow. And let me real quickly, there's a description on your website, which is darkbeachcomic.com. It says, Earth drifts through space. Gordo has discovered the true reason we left the old sun. But the biggest secret isn't where we've been, it's where we're headed. And boy, that's fascinating to me. I love that kind of concept. Now, the first book, we're basically getting our toe in the water.
Right.
You know, a lot of this stuff's not all going to be explained in the first book. Otherwise, why bother to continue on?
Right.
So I like the fact that you developed the main guy's character, Gordo, and you developed him real well, and other things and other people that move around him are real fascinating, including the journalists and things like that. Were these people based on people that you knew, or are these creations? How did you guys come up with the creations? Is that Javier, were you involved in that, or was that Michael's thing?
I'm sure it was a little of both of us. Mike had definitely had Gordo and the photographer, and I think, you know, he could talk about where he came up with that. I know there's a real-life black market photographer that inspired him to start it. I mean, sometimes we get characters from movies or in books and things, and we say, oh, this could be a sort of mix of this guy and this guy. And I guess maybe we don't want to reveal too much of how the sausage is made, but there are definitely people we think, as an example, we haven't done this, but I don't know, like John Goodman character from this film or something. We'll think of what if he was saying it, how would he say it, how would he dress, how would he... Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you want to talk about how you actually came up with the whole Gordo concept, that was more you.
Yeah, I mean, really, the idea was basic at the beginning where I was really into this crime scene photographer from the 50s, this character named Ouija. Mm. He did a lot of, like, portraits. I mean, if you look him up, you'll see he photographed Marilyn Monroe and a bunch of celebrities at that time. But I believe in the 30s and 40s, he would pay the rent, really, by taking crime scene photography in New York City, which at that time, it was a dark time, and he had like a little police scanner, so he would sometimes get there before the police, take the picture, be the first one to take the picture, sell it to the newspaper. Other photographers would be way too late. And so I just found that really interesting, and I had a bunch of books on him. And then really at the time, I was really into film noir because I took a couple classes mainly on film noir. Yeah, I would watch Scarlet Street and The Third Man and Touch of Evil, Strangers on a Train, and it's, I don't know, it's just like... My ideas really stem from just like a bunch of things melting in a pot. And then I think what really brought it to life was sitting down with Javier and just really creating the story and what it could be and how far we could take it.
Mm-hmm. It's a great story. I really loved it. The way you start off, he's laying on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the first sentence is one that really grabbed me too. It says, Gordo dreams of a son he's never seen.
Right.
Which, of course, for us is a little alien, and so that right away that grabs my attention. Mm-hmm. And he's on the beach, and all of a sudden a radio blurts out that there's a crime going on the way, and patrol's underway. And he goes there before they do, which I don't know if many of us would really want to do that. And he gets pictures, and when he gets to look at the pictures, things kind of resonate with him in interesting ways.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what the pictures are of, or what he took pictures of?
Sure. Mike, you want to take that?
No, you can take it.
I just want to say you're really going in depth about the comic. I'm really glad.
Just from the review you wrote, which I have to thank you for, it was definitely one of the best reviews and insightful ones that we've had. So I do want to thank you about that.
Yeah, not just being a positive review, but like really getting the story and understanding. A lot of people didn't. I guess there are some things that are supposed to be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we confused people in certain ways, which are good.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like you kind of got where it's going and what it's all about, which was really nice to read. This is our first comic, so it's nice seeing reviews and seeing it resonate with people and seeing it get reflected back to us.
Well, you know, I want to say before we go on a little bit, that doesn't feel like your first comic. I'm going to be real with you. It feels very much, I use the phrase, it's like criminal is to crime noir.
Right.
Which I really loved. It has that wonderful dark feel to it.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't answer your question at all. So, I guess the photograph, what he sees in this crime scene, it's supposed to be like he does this regularly. This is kind of how he gets by, trading the photographs to his journalist friend. That's how he makes a living. He's kind of like a lazy slacker guy and does whatever he can to get by. But this photo, normally he wouldn't care. He would just check it, hand it over to his journalist friend.
Mm-hmm.
But there's symbolism of the son, of the old son. That's what they refer to it as. And there's clearly something in him. He's having dreams about the old son. He's interested in these signs of the old son in this photograph. And then he slowly goes down the trail. And so we're going to reveal more and more what his history is with the son. And more importantly, what the conspiracy is around what happened with the old son. Like a lot of people don't know in this society. It's been hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's myths and... Mm-hmm. The official government story, which some people choose to believe, some people think is an exaggeration. So Gordo definitely has something in him that's driving him to dig deeper, whereas normally he wouldn't really care. He doesn't really have that kind of motivation.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting, because the girl dies by a very interesting way. And I don't know if we want to reveal that too much, but she dies in a way that I didn't expect. And of course, that's why the police are called there, because they have this, something bad has happened, the girl's lost her life, but how she dies is really interesting too. Mm-hmm. And then of course, that sends him on a mission to go around and find out more about what happened. And right. There's a really interesting character who comes later on. I don't want to spoil too much, but let's just say as he's coming out of a place where he's done some digging, this guy comes up out of the shadows and basically says he's looking for answers just like he is. But, you know, there's something about crime folks. They kind of feel like they should discourage people if they get on the right trail. But by doing that, they reinforce that the guy has actually gotten on the right track.
Yeah, exactly.
And this guy comes up and basically beats the tar out of poor old Gordo.
Yeah, Gordo's digging a little too far. And in some ways, it does propel him to dig a little deeper. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, okay, I'm getting somewhere because I'm pissing somebody off.
Mm-hmm. Which is so true. I mean, that's – you tell people that you're on the right road there. I'm always intrigued by people who think that they can discourage others.
Yeah, and some of these things, like you said, with that character and with Lilith, you could say that's the femme fatale. There are, like, these film noir motifs, especially in the first issue. But I will say that going on forward, you are going to break some of these things and create new motifs for us. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a really good story. And now, one of the things that really intrigued me about this was the fact that the sun is not there. The old sun is there. And so their lives largely are in the dark. Mm-hmm. People talk about winter and getting cabin fever for not being out in the sun at all because it's too cold. And so here's a whole planet full of people that are in the dark all the time. That's got to affect them. You see that in Gordo quite a bit. And you see the other ones. There feels like there's a lot more desperation in the characters, a lot more darkness. Because not only is it dark in the sky, but it's dark in the people living there, it feels like.
It's also there is a sense of a lot of people are ignorant, too, or they've been living under this protective dome. Like, there's also Sun Club. So it's like they have the ability to see somewhat what sun is like. Mm-hmm. So that kind of furthers their idea of, oh, this is okay. We don't really need the real thing.
Mm-hmm. And what's funny is when he comes across people who they're sun freaks, is that what they call them? Mm-hmm. And those are people who apparently want to get in the sunshine where other people are used to living without it. So which is, you know, people, when we respond to situations like this, we don't all respond the same way. So I thought that was a great group, a great thing to introduce the fact that not everybody is happy in the darkness. Some people really desperately want more sunshine.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's people that want to know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's really good stuff.
I think we're definitely operating in the world of like cyberpunk stories, which like kind of like the Blade Runner and some Isaac Asimov and William Gibson kind of stories, where it's like dystopian, more dark. It's like future, but it's not bright and clean like some futuristic things. It's more like everybody's just using the technology, kind of like the movie Brazil was a big visual reference for us, where it's the future and there's all this technology, but it looks like the 50s and 40s. And people are maybe a little more secretive and a little more paranoid. That's kind of the realm we're living in. We didn't want to go to a future where everything's great or try to separate. There's some stories where there's a really nice side of the future and it's countered with like a really underground, dirty side. This was kind of everybody's living under this one dome, so they're all forced to live by the same rules and the same physics and the same laws. And so there's definitely a social thing like you were mentioning of people being more on edge and all kind of trying to figure out their own way to handle the situation.
Now, I've also got to ask, too, that instead of choosing New York, which almost every comic in the world is based in, you choose New Reykjavik, which I thought was a really interesting thing. Right away, I'm in a different place than I normally am in comic books. Why New Reykjavik? What was it about this that attracted you guys to creating the story there?
That had more to do with the science behind it. I mean, when we researched, the first thing that would happen if there was no sun is that it would get cold really fast. Mm-hmm. And everything would die. Mm-hmm. So the only way you could do it is if you lived off the geothermal energy from the Earth's core, which they say could last actually like hundreds of thousands of years and provide heat and energy. Mm-hmm. So there's only a handful of places in the world that could realistically do this. I don't know how realistic, but at least like have a chance of keeping society, you know, being warm and providing us energy. And Iceland is famous for that, like New Zealand and Hawaii or a few other spots. And we've actually thought of doing like spin-offs in those places with similar cities built. Mm-hmm. But that was the reason we went there. We just thought it'd be cool. It's also like an island, so it's like it's even more separated from the rest of society.
Because Gordo actually works at what is called the Center for Science and Technology. When he's sitting there eating his lunch, you can see the dome overhead. mm-hmm. over the city and stuff. So yeah. that kind of helps us understand what the situation is. And he has actually has an iPad that explains a little bit, or a book actually, and goes through some of the science of what's going on, which is good for us to understand. So
it's like the quote unquote science of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. The thing of it is science fiction always asks what if. This book asks, what if the sun was not there? How would we respond? And what would make that kind of thing happen? And that's the thing I love about the book. It's very science fiction. Some sci-fi books, there's a difference between some people between sci-fi and science fiction. Sci-fi is sort of like Star Wars or other things that are not quite so grounded in science. But at least you have a basis of something resembling science so that we get an idea of what's going on. And that's what makes it really good science fiction to me.
Yeah, we try to – there's like two – there's two stories going on. It's like you do have the science part of it, mm-hmm. but then you also have the basic – not the basic, but you do have the story, the mystery, the love story, stuff that like everybody can relate to. But then there's also the things that make it mysterious and make you wonder why and how did they get it there. So mm-hmm. It is a challenge, but it's also – I don't know. It's super interesting to me, and that's what we wanted to – create, not just any story, but something that's just has multiple layers to it.
Very good. Now, I also wanted to talk about the art, because is Sebastian's last name, how is that pronounced? Pedis or Pedis? How do you pronounce that?
Mike, how do you pronounce it?
I'll say that's like a Paris.
Paris, okay.
I was like Paris,
okay. Sebastian Paris.
Yeah, it looks like it. Because according to your website, he's from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Yeah. And you were saying it took a while to come across the art team that you wanted. How did you guys find him? On across the internet?
Yeah, we posted somewhere. Was it Digital Webbings, I believe?
DeviantArt, maybe?
We did Digital Webbings. We scoured DeviantArt as well and just messaged a bunch of artists. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of sample pages from different artists. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting to see different artists take on your work, because we wouldn't really give that much information, and on our scripts we don't even decide necessarily what has to be in what panel. We let the artist do that, so the way the artist creates the panels, chooses what's in what panel, and how they interpret the style and everything is really interesting to see. And we look back at them and we're like, what if we had used this artist, the comic would be totally different. It's hard, because it's a little bit of, you want somebody who's really talented, but also some people are really talented, which means that they're really busy and they want a lot of money. And Sebastian was a good balance of where he has experience. He's worked on a lot of different things. He works on a regular webcomic called, Demon Archives.
Demon Archives.
So he's really experienced, but he's also looking for new opportunities and things. So he was excited to come on board. And he had the style that reflected the story to us, which is, you know, definitely a more darker, not too cartoony sort of style.
And speaking of art, colors, Ray Jones, the use of color in this book is really good. The sun is a very bright orange, yellow, reddish thing. But then when we get to the earth, everything is usually dark blues or dark purples along the way, which I learned, because when you go to a certain place where there is somebody providing sunlight, it's very different then. But even then, it still has this darkish feel to it. So I really thought that he did a really good job as far as using the color palette real well and getting us in the mood to experience the art and experience the story. I really like that.
Yeah, we found him on DeviantArt, and it turns out he lives in New York right now, and he's actually from Miami. Like, when he gave me his phone number, it had that Miami area code, and I was like, wow, okay, that's great. But just looking at his work, because I was very inspired by The Wake. Did you ever read The Wake by, Sean Murphy?
No, I haven't read that.
Sean Murphy drew it, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and Tokyo Ghost, I think that's something that's out now, and Chrononauts.
Yeah.
I think he uses the same color guy. The name escapes me, but Ray has that same kind of feel. Or he'll add these textures to it as well. We gave him these two sample pages, and he like just blew us out of the water. And we're like, yeah, let's do it.
Because I'm helping out on a couple of indie comics as well, and the guy Richard, who does the books, puts them together. He uses a girl from the Philippines, Liesl Buenaventura, because her coloring just blew him out of the water when he started to look at the coloring and stuff. It's just amazingly well done, and so he has her do almost everything. Because that, thank goodness for the internet, just being able to her involved. But
totally.
And as I look at the book too, that's what made me appreciate it. I looked at the use of color and I was like, wow, this is really, it would be very different with a different color artist on it. I have a feeling.
I would recommend to anybody who's trying to make a comic, like a lot of artists, a lot of inkers will color as well. It's something that technically once you can draw, it's not that hard to color. Mm-hmm. But using somebody else is, I think, really important, not just because if they might be better at coloring, mm-hmm. but getting that other perspective. Mm-hmm. There's so much that gets added that we didn't think of it. We imagined, oh, this will just be blue, and then he colors it in this weird, interesting mix of colors. Or even there's a scene where Gordo takes a drug and he trips out, and that was completely, the look of that is so unique, and that was just Ray mm-hmm. just experimenting with stuff. And mm-hmm. and even ideas with the story and stuff. We have a chain that where we all talk, all four of us, mm-hmm. and we're constantly talking about the story and the characters and things. So having more people in the mix is always, I think, always better.
Mm-hmm. Well, they bring their own perspective to it. And every time you do something like that, it adds something to the story. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. Now, the book is called Dark Beach. And for the longest time, as I was reading the book, I was going, why is it called Dark Beach? Until we come to a place in the story where Gordo and his friend are talking to a waitress in a restaurant. And that's where they talk about the fact that they didn't even used to have power in a certain place, and that's why they called it Dark Beach. And since the book is called that, I have a feeling we're going to be exploring that location sometime in the future.
Yeah, and really, you know, it's weird because titles will come to my head before I actually think of the story. And I hate to say that, but they kind of do. Mm-hmm. And just even coming up with the title created this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll be exploring it a lot more.
Cool. Which leads, of course, to the next question. You guys said that you're working on issue 2 and it's coming along. Do you have an idea as to when issue 2 is going to be available?
It's a good question. We're way better at it now than we were when we started. Mm-hmm. We're on a good pace now. We started drawing. We're getting like several pages per week and coloring them and moving along. So I think we'd probably have it in the next 2 months. We'll be done on our end, but then until we can release it, maybe 3. So probably it'll be like a quarterly comic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which we want to be here to the end until we end the series. Because the first one came out, we did a Kickstarter and mm-hmm. launched it to the world, and we started doing press, and we sort of put the second one on the back burner, and that was maybe a mistake. Like, we've got to be working on the second one and the third one, and then all at the same time.
Yeah.
So we hope to keep it more regular as far as release.
I saw you mention in one of the interviews, or at least it was mentioned, that this story is going to be like 5 or 6 issues long.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good. So
we don't know. Like, it might be 5. It could be 6. Mm-hmm. But as many as it needs to tell that story. It could be – I mean, I don't think it would be 4, but it could be. Mm-hmm. But I think it 5. 5 seems like the ideal number.
Yeah, we haven't written all the scripts. We have the outline for the whole story. Mm-hmm. But as we write the scripts, we move forward and we realize, oh, this is too many pages, or some things get really shortened. We think, oh, this scene is going to be like this so many pages. And then we write, oh, we only need 2. We don't want to just write the whole thing now. We write it as it's drawn too, because the drawing inspires the writing, inspires the drawing. Mm-hmm. So we're like writing it as we develop it. It's hard to predict.
Well, you'll see possibilities you may not have imagined before when you see the artwork come back.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of the great things about it. Yeah. There are certain writers in the business, and I could name a name, but I won't, who write everything in their heads just straight out, and they would hand the script over to the actors, and they would immediately go and shoot it. Mm-hmm. And it had that feel of sort of disjointed. It didn't always flow naturally because of that. But see, with your stuff, because you've got this back and forth going on behind it, there may be some aspects of the story that you created that other people can contribute, which I think is just a wonderful thing about that. That, to me, is a good story.
Yeah, and even, you know, Ray and Sebastian, they'll put in their thoughts on characters, and we're open to that. We're open to, like, 4 of us searching for other ways of taking the story or little details here and there. So I think that open communication has served us well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bringing it back to the film thing, it's something you certainly can't do in a movie. You know, you have to write it and get like a very short period to shoot a movie, because that's when you spend all the money. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, we make it as we go, and it's cool. It's like, I guess they kind of talked about that's how they made the movie Boyhood. Like, they had 12 years to make this movie, so they're like, oh, we get to shoot part of it and then spend a year preparing the next part and then shoot it. And then it's kind of like that, where there's even characters coming up that we don't even know what they're going to be like necessarily yet. Mm-hmm. We know what their basic motivations are, but as we get there, be like, what do we really need this character to be as of right now? Now that we've seen it play out until here,
Cool. And things like that, like what you mentioned, new characters. I mean, we'll discuss that for like a quite a time. You know, it's not like an hour that we discuss. It's like it's pretty in depth.
Mm-hmm. which are great. So that, to me, is a good story when there's a lot of possibilities. And, of course, this leads to a possibility even after the mystery is solved, there might be other stories to tell in the Dark Beach universe. So I imagine you guys have already started when you in your discussion come across, you know, we could do that in a follow-up.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. So good stuff with that.
I appreciate that.
So now, of course, the all-important question is how to get Dark Beach number one. Now, you have a website that I mentioned before, darkbeachcomic.com, and you can buy as a buy now section. By the way, I do love the website, too. The website's really well put together.
Yeah, it's all Javier.
Oh, is that okay? Yeah, you did a good job on that, because this one, you've got a video about the book. You've got five-page preview. You've got the stuff about the story as well as the creators. And you've got a place to buy it, which I think is wonderful. And, of course, another place to get it is probably if you go to conventions. So those kinds of things. Is the website the best place right now to be able to get it?
Yeah, that's the best place. I know we submitted to Comixology.
Mm.
I know that takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we've done that. We've done it there and trying to do more conventions. And yeah, I really appreciate that you and everybody at Think Alike came over and introduced yourselves and gave me a couple pointers. You know, it was my first one, so I didn't really know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, you know, I feel like on the last day I was getting my groove on how to really like approach people with it and try to push it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you guys were really great. And I think everybody on your table bought a book or two. So that was really amazing of you guys. And I really appreciate it.
Well, it's good quality stuff. And I really enjoyed the book. This is why I was so happy to get the chance to talk with you guys and to talk more about it and to promote it. Do you have an idea? Are you going to be going back to another con that you can mention right now?
We're scheduling which one. We have like a list of which ones, how far they are from, you know, how much it would cost us to travel there. I live in Los Angeles, so there's a good amount near LA.
Mm-hmm.
There's some in Florida as well where Mike lives. And so we're kind of just in the process right now of deciding which ones we're going to go to and what's worth spending and how much, how many comics we should take. And we're kind of learning that as we go as well, because there are some really small conventions that are really cheap and easy to get to, but there obviously aren't as many people there.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's good. Better to be a bigger fish in a little pond kind of thing. I don't know, because if we had a booth just now at San Diego Comic-Con, I feel like that would have been way too much for us. Like, just for our one book, it's not really enough to warrant being next to some of these artists who are working on, like, who have, like, 20, 30 books under their name, and they're all been published on publishers.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of finding our space in the convention world, I think, is the next step for us.
Very cool. So I look forward to seeing you guys at other conventions. There'll be a lot around. Of course, you do have Paradise City, as I remember, is coming in December, which is down in the Miami area.
Right, right.
That one's coming, and there's other ones around. And of course, Los Angeles. You got WonderCon and all these good things. Of course, San Diego, which you just was at. So, man, there's a lot of good places. And honestly, it's a good place to make contacts. It's also a good place to generate a fandom.
Right, right. I mean, I feel like the people who did come to the booth were really interested, and I've gotten a couple emails about how excited they were about the book. And I mean, yeah, like the connections, I mean, just meeting you and everybody at Think Alike, that's something you can't take for granted. You know, that was a really amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we like quality. I mean, I particularly, when I go out looking to conventions, I'm looking around in indie comics trying to find good stuff to talk about, because I'm always trying to find people whose work other people may not be aware of yet, but they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when I got a hold of Dark Beach, I was just sitting there going like, wow, I've got to interview these guys, because this is something people should know about. It's a really good
awesome story. And I appreciate it. I mean, and the review too. I mean, that was great.
Well, it was a wonderful book. I couldn't put it down, so it was really great. So now why don't we talk about, you guys are on Facebook, right?
Yes. I deleted mine, and then now I'm back. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Michael, you have a website called michaelruizunger.com.
Yeah, correct.
And Javier, you're under tuckertoda.com, according to your website.
Yeah.
And so, and the other folks have websites too. Of course, for more information, like I said, the website of yours is really good. Lots of good information in it. So I would recommend going there. So is number two keeping you guys busy right now? Is that because obviously you're making films as well as this? So are you keeping busy? Yeah. Is this going to keep you occupied as far as comics go until this is done?
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's like it's a constant thing. It's like there's life and then there's job and then there's Dark Beach. And that's always a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on vacation right now in New York visiting my brother. And we just got a page today from Sebastian. And I had to take a minute, look at it, give notes. Me and Mike talked about it. And
So it's always on. I think at this point, we're probably comic lifers. I think we're going to be creating comics forever. It's so rewarding. Even if people don't love it or hate us, I think it's just so fun to make it and create yeah. in this medium. So yeah, I think it's going to be a big part of our lives for sure.
Well, I encourage you to keep it up because I really love the book and I can't wait to see the other books coming. I'm going to have to keep in touch with you guys so when it comes out, I can write a review of number two as well.
Yeah, definitely. No, I will send you one for sure. I mean, you'll be first on the list for sure.
Oh, boy. That'd be great. I really love the book. Again, it's Dark Beach number one. If you go to darkbeachcomic.com, you'll get a chance to buy the book there. And you guys send it out, right, via mail? Or how do you?
Javier.
We send out physical copies, but we also have a digital. It's only $1 for the digital one.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I think our goal isn't necessarily making money right now. It's just getting our audience as big as we can and getting people to read it.
It's a terrific book, and I highly encourage people. It's really highly recommended. If you haven't read Dark Beach, go to darkbeachcomic.com and give it a go. And you guys keep up the great work. I can't wait to see more from you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Wayne.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to be on your awesome podcast. And like I said, the review was amazing. And yeah, man, we'll definitely keep you in the loop. You'll be the first to get issue two.
great. Well, and just so people know, the review is at majorspoilers.com. Yep. Look up Dark Beach, and it'll pull you right to it. So awesome. Keep it up, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Wayne.
Thanks so much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this week. Please be back next time when I'll be speaking with another great comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.